Boys Lunch.
Here we go.
Favorite Christmas song, go.
Hey, welcome back. This is Boys Lunch. I'm Joey, joined by my good friend,
Paul.
And we are two Catholic teachers discussing life. This is Boys Lunch. Thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, we appreciate you listening in. If you are here to listen to the most recent podcast prior to this one about the house system, go back one.
Yeah.
I mean, this one's going to be incredible, but if you're here for the house one, which has gotten a lot of positive feedback, please do go back a previous episode.
Yeah, we recorded it before Thanksgiving. It was something that the two of us did with our coworker, Lizzie O'Brien. Something that we really wanted to do because there's a lot of cool changes coming to Central Catholic that we wanted to talk about from our perspective. As like a lot of things are flying around about, hey, like what's happening? Are they doing this? Are they doing that? We wanted to kind of explain from our point of view, as we've been invested within this community for so long, why some of the rationale and some of why we like the house system and things that are coming next year.
And why we're excited about it, why it's all good things.
So check that episode out. Yes, it is episode, I think, 73 called House. So if you were directed, maybe don't start with this one.
I always recommend start with the newest episodes. But yeah, go back one if that's what you're interested in. If not, appreciate you sticking around for a second episode.
And welcome back.
And they're gone. Joey, we talked about it. Favorite Christmas song?
Yeah.
That was a question that was thrown at me. You know, I don't know. O Come Emmanuel is a classic.
Boring.
Whenever I think about
commercialized, Paul, come on.
Whenever I think about Christmas songs, though, I think my dad at one point talked about, is it Paul McCartney's Simply Happy?
The mood is right.
Just, I think ever since he pointed out just like how repetitive and just how long that song is,
it is a very long
song. You're just, oh my goodness. By the, you play that one.
I tried to put it on a Christmas playlist once and it was like, I can't
because
it was like 4 or 5 minutes straight of that.
And I think you also were an employee at Albertsons.
Yeah. Julasco.
Julasco. Okay. Parent company Albertsons for all you Chicago people. I don't know why I remember that.
Why are you referencing Albertsons?
That's just because that's who wrote the checks, Joey.
Okay, that's true.
And Christmas, you know, it comes early at any sort of
it's
retail
the
shop.
Holiday season.
But man, two straight months of Christmas music. It was tough for me after that to really get back into it.
Wow. All right, Scrooge. I didn't realize you hated Christmas. I wasn't starting this podcast trying to expose you on that.
But I understand. Well, you didn't work in produce where I was not promoted, but a lateral movement to produce. Where,
yeah, I was with people.
Yeah.
And I was generally happy.
You got a promotion.
Yeah.
Paul, we're going to make a lateral move in your career.
That's okay, man. You're doing a good job now.
Back there in the silence of the produce in the back.
Yeah, where it kind of smells a little thing.
Right. Speaking of which, went to Meijer last night with my daughter, and the doors were open to the back. And just that smell. It's the same smell at any grocery store of just, I don't know what
room.
It is. There's like a dampness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're just, something's not right. Close those doors. But anyway, you're not here to hear about any of that.
They're hearing, they want to hear about the back room of grocery stores.
I'm sure that's how you plan this chatter to go. So, what's new in your life? What's on your mind?
Oh, my favorite Christmas song?
Yeah.
All I Want for Christmas is You, Mariah Carey, hands down.
The greatest of all time.
I don't know why.
It seems like, why would you ask the question when you knew the answer?
I wanted to see if you'd say it or not. And you went with, O Come Emmanuel. Which can be done well.
Nerd.
It can be done poorly.
It can. If I'm going to go like, not commercialized necessarily, but I think Bing Crosby, David Bowie, drummer boy, all time greatest.
Peace on earth.
Yes.
I didn't think people, people already know they're going to get the crooning of Joey and Paul today.
That's one where it's like, I know it's not the greatest, but like anytime it comes, I'm like, shh, shh.
Kids, be quiet.
Be quiet. David Bowie, Bing Crosby.
Hey, it is December, if you can't tell by our chatter about Christmas. We are currently in the second week of Advent. We recorded a week before Thanksgiving, so a lot has happened with life.
So
how's your life been?
Great. Went to Disney over Thanksgiving. Yeah, I got to go with my family. It was a great gift to the entire family by my parents. Shout out Mark and Janet.
Nice.
And had a wonderful time at Disney. The girls are just the perfect age for it. So I really couldn't have, it was weird. Like Thanksgiving is like one of my greatest holidays, or my favorite holidays.
Because of the food and the laziness.
I don't know what it, it's something about, yeah.
The charm of family, is that what it is
called? Family, togetherness, and some good food. But this was a wonderful way to celebrate it. Got to hang out with Aaron and his wonderful wife, Caroline, and the whole crew got to hang out together. I mean, it could have gone awful, but there was a pool at where we stayed. And so my girls are going to be happy no matter what. But they also got to meet some princesses, have some fun on the rides. And it was just a wonderful time. They really are so a perfect age. So it's something they'll remember forever.
That's awesome. Lucky.
Yeah, I know, right? Seriously. How was your Thanksgiving?
It's good. I get to see the charm of family. It's nice we traveled for the first time with the baby. So, yeah, check that off the list. We did it.
Now, is Lucy a – how's she travel? She a
sleeper? We got lucky. I don't want to say anything, Paul, because you're trying to jinx me for the next trip.
No, no. Yep.
Knock on wood. Now. Knock on wood now. Yeah, she did well, actually. So, we – yeah.
So, I just have memories of Sienna screaming at the top of her lungs and us rolling down the back windows, partly to try to soothe her, quote, unquote.
But to drown it out.
Also to drown out the screaming of a child because we just needed to get home.
She did well. And the trip, actually, we spent a few days down there. It was nice. We hadn't been down to St. Louis in a while just because we had the baby and haven't traveled. So it was nice to see them again, spend time down there. People came and saw us. So that was convenient with the kid. it was cool. We're excited to go back down for Christmas.
Everybody there? Our number one podcast listener?
Miguel was there, yes.
I'm just so happy I got to finally meet him. So shout out Miguel.
Yeah, he doesn't really like you. He actually mutes your parts.
It's weird that he's able to do that. Yeah. Actually, I hear you send the file, but with just your
parts. Yeah, I actually do a special editing job for him. Yeah, we've got a lot going on. Holiday season. Well, whoop-de-doo and hickory dock.
Thank you so much. I knew you were going there. And I just
But did you celebrate Illinois' birthday? December 3rd? 1818?
1818, yeah,
absolutely.
Gosh, did I miss that by 3 days?
Did you miss that?
I did. Shoot, what was I doing?
I don't know if Chris, your brother-in-law, was being serious about Steve Irwin. Like, I don't know if he has, like, a big dedication to Steve Irwin.
Did Steve Irwin also die on December 3rd?
Well, no, but there's apparently a Steve Irwin day was, like, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And we joked about it at a Cub Scout gathering. He goes, you got any big plans for Steve Irwin day? I'm like, yeah, the family, we really take it seriously. But then, like, the day of, like, sent me text with, like, Steve Irwin GIF and, like, happy Steve Irwin Day. Hope you're having a good time.
I love his dedication to a joke. Now, this might not be a joke.
He's a reptile guy. That's why I was thinking, like, maybe he does.
I mean, he wore black for probably 2 months after his passing. So, and
Steve Irwin?
Yeah.
Or his recent snake that died.
Oh, wow. You really gonna bring that up,
dude? I didn't know, and I brought it up to, at Cub Scouts,
right?
To Henry, but to Chris.
Oh, good.
Luckily,
jeez,
yeah. Gosh. Hey, Rip,
Venom, right? Was that the one that died?
Yeah, like I know their names,
the snakes' names,
right? But Dr. Chris and Andrea, I just do want to say, yeah, thoughts and prayers go out to you and your family for the loss of your snake,
and for Steve Irwin.
Not where I thought the banter was going today.
Seriously.
Sorry, guys.
All over the place.
Anything else going on?
No, my mind is just filled with, again, continued shock at the death of Steve Irwin and how it happened. So.
Dude, I've been there foggy. I don't know about you. I'm exhausted.
I mean, not sleeping
overwhelmed.
Well,
yeah.
Will do that.
Yeah.
But also busy time of year. A lot of moving parts.
It's not even that. So, yeah, it's just like figuring out life. It's one of those things where we're in the figuring out stage. We haven't got to a part where we're figured out, at least for me.
I was going to say, is this a personal, school-related life?
Everything. Everything. You know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe that could be relatable to people, but...
There is a lot in flux right now.
There's chunks of life where it's like, we are just in the figure-out stage of life.
Yeah.
So, which I'll talk about a little bit in our topic today.
Oh, teaser!
All right, and we're back. We recorded a little bit earlier in the day. Now I just had some homemade pizza. I'm feeling pretty good.
Killed it.
I'm ready to go. Thank you, Mrs. Hornsby. Mm. Mrs. Miller.
Nailed it.
Beautiful pizza. Anyway, I have like two ideas that I want to discuss today, and it's not going to be like a takeaway. These are things you need to learn and be better at in your life. Or maybe it is. We'll see how it comes forth.
Could be fodder for reflection, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, did you read my mind?
No, but.
I was about to say fodder.
Stop.
No. That's not normally something that comes up in my vocabulary. Is that a...
I don't know where that actually
a common thing for you.
Is it a farming term? Fodder? Hay?
Dude, I don't know.
Well, this is awkward.
I'm not a loser. But I think part of the delay in some of this, you were gone for a little bit. We've just had life happen and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I've just, like many times, I think just kind of lost within my own mind. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think, yeah. I had periods just trying to recover from the week off. I had to, you know, I took multiple days off to celebrate with the mouse. So
I had to process what you said there.
Yeah.
And the two things I want to talk about are, one of them we haven't talked about much. One of them we have is kind of tying in some elements of something. I've been very struck, and I think I brought this up in a small group the other night, just spiritually with like messiness and like dirtiness almost of within art and literature. And that's why we've had podcasts on these different things.
Mm-hmm.
On the Brothers Karamazov, because it is just all about getting inside the mind of people who are messy, who in some way are struggling with something. And like, it's relatable because it's feelings I feel, maybe not in an extreme way, but it's like, it's verbalizing it for me, and it's helping me live it out in that book.
Mm-hmm.
Or an image, like when we went through the prodigal son image.
Yeah.
There was just something that was just moving to me. And I just have found a theme within the past year of like, it's something about the messiness of humanity. And Caravaggio, I brought up as well. Like, I think why he's been so appealing to me. Yes, it's beautiful aesthetically to look at these paintings, but if you look at like the people, it's always like the messiness meeting Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the Brothers K podcast we did, it was about like the loving heart of a sinner. And it's just been like a motif, if you will. Will you?
You will.
Okay. And there's like, if you want to look up the image, it's the Madonna of Loreto, or the Mary and the Pilgrim from Caravaggio.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Google that. I think that's good.
We'll wait.
And the Rembrandt's Return of the Prodigal, which we talked about before. Both of them have like messy feet. They're both kneeling.
Mm-hmm.
You've looked at these.
Yeah.
And they're dirty. And I don't know what it is. Like when I'm praying, that's what I focus on for some reason is their feet. Yeah,
not in a weird way.
It's just like there's something it's the humility. I think what I was saying the other night when I was trying to process this with you guys, so I look at myself and I'm pretty put together. In the world standards, I clean myself. I have nice clothes. I have a job. I've gotten my degree. We have a house and a mortgage. We have kids. We have a Chrysler Pacifica with stow and go seating. You know, we're paying our bills. We do our taxes, whatever. We're going to events. And it's hard to look at an image of a dirty pilgrim going to the door being like, Mary, please just let us in. Give us something, like that beggar.
Mm-hmm.
Or you look at the prodigal son, this guy whose like clothes are literally rotting off him. Or you look at, I've just got through the chapter on Dmitri and the Brothers Karamazov, this man who was about to kill himself for love and just like throw everything away and murder his own father and do all these different things. Like my life isn't that crazy, but why am I relating to that so much? I'm not that messy. I'm not begging for bread, but like inside there was something within me that was resonating with these images. Can you help clean me up a little bit here?
Well, I can't really see into your heart, but those images resonate with me, I think, because, I don't know, they speak to the human longing for something else. Like, I don't know, an image that has often spoken to me is Luke, I'm trying to think, what is that? Luke chapter 18. If you remember the blind beggar at the side.
Mm.
He's approached to Jericho, a blind man was sitting at the roadside begging, and he heard a crowd going by and inquired what was happening. He told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He shouted, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. The people walking in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he kept calling out more and more, son of David, have pity on me. Right? Then Jesus stopped and ordered that he be brought to him. When he came to him, Jesus asked, what do you want for me to do for you? He replied, Lord, please let me see.
Hmm.
I don't know why, but that's another image where it's like, it's this beggar. I am by no means, right? Poor. I live a comfortable life, right? I have, just as you have said, except we have a Toyota Sienna with stone go seating.
Nice.
But for whatever reason, that image, it's one that I constantly come back to. And I don't know if it's the same thing with those images of the tattered clothes or, you know, humbly walking on our knees or crawling on our knees. There's just something about this idea that, yes, we have these things, but yet we need.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the things that we can acquire, or even amongst the chaos of a crazy life, there's this yearning of the human heart that desires for that which satisfies. And I think it's only in the recognition that we are, right, these humble beggars, these ones who must turn our palms upwards to receive and to bow low, to enter into, right? This union with God is something that's powerful. And it's just, I think that's why I love the chaos of these stories, is because amongst these messy lives, again, they're seeking something, as we've talked about multiple times before. It's that yearning of the human heart that we all can experience. From the wealthiest and busiest of persons, there's still this yearning for silence and reception of something that they can't acquire themselves through money or will. To those who do experience real poverty and need, mm-hmm. and that desire for comfort, for love, it's something that we won't necessarily experience on this side through our own doing, right? Unless we come with open hands to receive.
And I think that's, I'm glad you brought up one of the parables. I mean, or not the parables, that's not a parable. It's actually Jesus encountering those stories from the Gospels of him encountering the blind man, or like even Zacchaeus, like these people that maybe you like, worldwise, I don't look like this, but there's something with the image and with this art where it's what I feel inwardly expressed out there on a painting.
Yeah.
I don't look like that on the outside, but I know myself and I know that I feel like that on the inside sometimes. That I have nothing to do right now but beg, because I know that I'm messy inside, that I'm broken, that I have wounds. I think when you see that pilgrim with the dirty feet, and you see him with the maybe the wounds on their like body, you see them with the tattered clothing and they're begging. That's what I feel like inside, because I know myself. Mm-hmm. And I think the podcast we did on humility, all these are kind of connecting. I think you brought in that really well, like the humility of turning your palms up. It's because I've been struggling just personally. Like that was like kind of the other part that I want to get to, but I might wait a second on that. But these images, I think, are speaking to me because it's what I'm feeling, even though I'm not looking like that on the outside. It's the struggles I'm going through. If I read Augustine's Confessions, I'm not doing everything he's doing. Mm-hmm. But like at least I can finally hear someone else say the things that I might be feeling on the inside. Because on the outside, we all look like we have put it together. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it was so relatable with the Brothers K, is like I cannot relate because I'm getting on the inside. I see their inner hearts and what they're going through. And I have similar feelings, although it's different activities, but mm-hmm. those sentiments of things I'm struggling with. In the painting, it's, I feel like that. I feel like I just need to be held by the Father.
Yeah.
Because I'm struggling. I'm drowning. You know, I feel like I need to just crawl no matter what I look like, my appearance. I don't know.
And I think that's the beauty of art, storytelling, music, is that not only does it aid us in processing what we're feeling, but it also unites humanity.
Yeah. That's huge. I think that's what I'm getting at. Good job. Yeah.
Is people from all sorts of walks of life can stare at that painting together and experience that longing of the heart, or it can speak to them in their own personal way. Mm-hmm. And this idea, and why I think this quote always comes back to me, is like, what do you want me to do for you? Is this crisis like, you've come to me, you're calling for me, mm-hmm. you can feel it.
Yeah.
You know what you need. What is it that I can do for you? And it's like this connection that he's asking, will I come? Mm-hmm. Will I come and meet him there and bare my heart to him, tell him what I need and trust that he will provide, type of thing. And it is that intimate moment there, the meeting of the heart with God, right? This prayer, this idea that the human heart speaks, mm-hmm. And is heard by God. And there's this communion there that I think is so wonderfully expressed in art, but also it points us to the creator that and the beauty that exists within God. So it kind of, I don't know, there's just, it's a multifaceted thing that's going on there, but I think it's so beautiful. It's complex and it's difficult to put into words, but I think art allows us, not only the artists themselves to express, but to unite individuals in that moment.
That's why art and culture has always been so important for humanity. Mm-hmm. It expresses our deepest desires and the things that matter to us in a more tangible way, elevated way. Yeah, just to kind of, I don't know. I feel like I've just been struggling a lot with like basic human formation. When they look at like the seminary process, they focus on four areas, right? Intellectual mm-hmm. formation, spiritual formation, pastoral. Mm-hmm. It's like learning how to spread the faith, engage and help people, guide people, and then human formation.
Right.
And I feel like I've just noticed, and I think, I don't know if this will be another, a whole nother podcast, but when we are called to a vocation, we're called to that for a reason, because there's certain ways that we need to be formed as a statue needs to be kind of carved out. And we're just reading actually a chapter from Lewis, and he talks about how sometimes we go to God just wanting him to fix a few things. Like if I have a toothache, sometimes I don't want to go to my mom because she's going to give me aspirin to help out the toothache, but she's also going to take me to the dentist to get the actual thing fixed. Mm-hmm. You go to God, he'll give you, yes, he'll help you with that one little symptom, but he's going to take more from you. I think as the vocation, you're called to it because you want that experience of love and companionship, but also you're going to get a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. A lot of your weaknesses are going to be exposed. There's going to be moments for humility and growth. And I think there was just, I've noticed that there was things in my life that I struggled with when I was younger, maybe impatience or anger, a short fuse that I thought I had dealt with, or anything like for anyone. Like maybe there's things that you struggle with and how you interact with people, how you process things, just how you function as a human. But I think I just learned how to avoid those situations. And the beautiful thing and tough thing about the vocation is I can't avoid a lot of these things now, and they're being exposed. Mm-hmm. You know, so I feel like almost that beggar where the light is coming out, and I'm just coming to Mary and Jesus, like trying to hide how messy I am, but the light's exposing me almost. Mm-hmm. And it's especially just with kids, like in a wife and kids, like it is a beautiful thing, but I'm just realizing that I don't have it all together. And it's a very humbling, and I'm struggling, and I just inwardly you feel the messiness.
Yeah.
Because you know what you're called to, you know that love. And I think I'm just in that like friction area where I see the end goal and I want to do it and I know I'll be happy when I do it, but it's also the processing of I need to be better. I think as ministers, youth ministers, whatever, pastoral people, there's always that like, am I doing enough type of thing?
Yeah.
And I think we talk ourselves like, yeah, I think I'm just being too hard on myself. I'm doing enough. Mm-hmm. You know, if I could just get one person to show up.
Yeah.
I think I'm just in the phase where I realize I'm not doing enough.
Yeah.
Where I can't use that as an excuse anymore. And there's so many areas in my life that are being exposed that I need to work on and that I desperately want to work on. Mm-hmm. But I need help. And I need to be that beggar that's not offended by the light.
Right.
But those palms out.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. And I think, yeah, everyone does this. That we hide or we buffer ourselves. We protect ourselves from exposing our own weaknesses. Or we find ways to cope. But as you pour yourself out more, as you're stretched thinner, as you fulfill your vocation and the needs of life, and the, you know, it's
when you're finally running towards God, not running away from
right.
Like you're running towards your vocation, what you're called to.
Is that light? Yes, exactly. As you draw close to that light, and things begin to be exposed, and as you're naturally giving of yourself more, you just don't have the ability to hide. It's a good thing, and I think it's it is. There is that moment of recognition of what is taking place, but you haven't attained yet. The purification, you're amidst that beginning of the purification process. I'm made aware, but it's painful to let go. I know I need the growth, but I've got to give more. But I feel like I'm already giving so much now, but can I give more? And the ultimate answer is yes. Like we know in an act of love, as we pour out more, we receive, right? And as we seek selfless, we're going to be given more.
Am I willing to do what it takes to actually get there? You know, am I willing to take the steps? And I think that's what there's just this tension within me of I'm excited about really purifying myself. Mm-hmm. But purification is tough. That's the whole like point of the purgation.
Yeah.
I'm purging myself of these things that I shouldn't have. And I need to be better. And I'm not even trying to make this like a woe is me or like pour my heart out. But like, I think it's a reality that, again, we're not saying out loud to people. And I want to help like do my part to say it out loud for myself, people in my life, but also just like to encourage you, like I'm one part of that story, but I know there's so many people that have those things that as they're getting older, they're realizing I need to be better in this. I've avoided this problem. I have this wound that I haven't like brought for healing. I have these moments where maybe I do feel messy inside and I relate to these people, but I'm not willing to like come out of myself. I'm just keeping that inside. So I don't know. That's just like something that's been sticking with me is this image of, yes, like on the outside, I teach theology. I'm wearing a quarter zip right now. Feeling good. I got my hair cut from Sports Clips a couple weeks ago.
I have a 403B.
You know, like, but I don't know.
And
I don't know if it's been a blabbering mess.
No, I think it's good. And I think to bring it back, and we talked about the beauty of art is the fact that it unites humanity.
Yeah.
And a part of like this process is community is an essential piece to this,
mm-hmm.
right? To bring that to light, to share with the sufferings that we're all enduring, to push each other forward, to receive the encouragement, not only the acknowledgement that I'm not alone in this, but also the encouragement that yes, the purification process is worth it. This is what we want. This is what you need. This is what God has made you for.
And that's like this Advent season, the whole idea of light. Like, don't keep this out in the dark. I think I brought this to our small group. I brought it to you to kind of work out here, and it's something like my wife and I have been working through, and it's been very helpful for our marriage. Like, let's talk about this. Like, we want to be the best version of ourselves when God's calling us to be.
Mm-hmm.
Can we do that? So yeah, I think that was so good. Yeah, community.
Well, cool. If you're like me and just struggling with patience with your kids and loving them and just being attentive.
You're not alone.
You're not alone. No, I think that's really been the heart of it. Like, I just want to be a better dad, a better husband, and I just want to be available and selfless and loving and patient. And I've just been struggling with a lot of that because, like, I know what the ideal is and I know what I'm called to, mm-hmm. which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's just like the messiness of figuring it out. Like, hey, just shut up and do it.
Yeah.
Look for the things in your life, the image. Like, I think I asked you beforehand, a spiritual image that sticks with you. And
mm-hmm.
I didn't even get mine's like the agony in the garden. It's always stuck with me as a big moment in my life. And, I don't know. Use these images. Use whatever's moving you to speak to you. And I think we've had a podcast on that before, but yeah.
All good things.
And your last thing you said was community. Yeah.
Yeah.
We are a Boys Lunch community, people, and you're all here with us.
We're in this together, everyone.
Cool. Any shout outs?
I actually feel like I did a lot of the shout outs in the front half.
No, you didn't. Come on, Paul. What are your shout outs?
I'm trying to think.
Who are the people that commented on our thing?
Oh, shout out to the Tar family.
Okay.
Big listeners. Also, shout out again to Scott Vogel.
Oh, yeah. Allison sent us an email. Allison Tar.
Did she really?
Yeah, she said that she listens.
Aw.
Because I think one of the episodes, I'm like, hey, if you listen, can you just like send us an email and let us know? So thank you, Allison, for that.
Gosh, I haven't checked that email in a while. So yeah. Yes, if you emailed us, I appreciate you.
It was literally just this email. Nice. You have no shout outs? I feel like I've run into people and I've forgotten. It's been so long.
It really has been.
Oh, I ran into JT
awesome. Welch
at the 8th grade regional basketball game at Epiphany.
Ooh.
Doing well.
Yeah,
good to see him.
He's doing great over there at Milliken.
Milliken?
Go blue. Big blue.
Go big blue.
Not just regular blue.
Yeah.
Big blue.
There's someone else I've run into. I don't know. I'm sorry. Well, if I ran into you, it was so great seeing you. It was very memorable. It stuck with me. So thank you so much. Anything else?
You know, we do this every week and you'd think I'd come prepared. Like,
like had a break between our last recording part
and then this. And you'd think we would have been like,
hey, over the last hour and a half, could I think of?
People came into the school. People said hi. People commented.
Gosh. Next episode, I'll have to share some of the Spotify end of the year Wrapped reviews or whatever. We had 688 minutes of podcasts this year.
Oh, geez. So
it was down from last year, but
that's a lot of us.
Yeah,
it's down from last year. I thought we've been more regular in our record.
No.
We've been worse.
Yeah,
if you
look back at the year, we only post like twice a month.
I love that. Even in my own head, we're just like, that's perfect.
It's quality over quantity, though.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's true. We haven't hit our stride.
Have we though?
2 years in.
All right,
for the kingdom.
Well, God bless all of you out there for the kingdom.